3, 2, 1. Hey, good evening, everybody. Mike Malloy here. Welcome to tonight's program. Thanks for tuning in. Stick around for a while if you can stand it. If you can't stand it, I certainly understand. I certainly do. This is a significant week, and the significance is not something that is happy news. There were 6 U.S. service members killed so far in June in either Iraq and or Afghanistan, And among those 6, one soldier has become the 5,000th casualty of Bush and Cheney's decision to invade both of these countries. The 5,000th casualty. According to iCasualties.org, the wars have cost at least 4,308 lives in Iraq and 695 in Afghanistan. The official count from the Department of Defense, however, has the total number of deaths that military families speak out and noted the milestone in a press release published today. The anti-war group, which was formed by military families in 2002, asked Obama to swiftly end the wars as promised during last year's presidential campaign. However, and this statement is from antiwar.com, however, as U.S. Congress returned from a week-long Memorial Day break, the lawmakers' main war concern was not ending either campaign, but in finalizing a new war funding bill for Barack Obama to sign. Obama originally asked for $84.3 billion to continue the wars. Both the House and the Senate responded by adding their own items, bringing the final tally for the House to $96.7 billion and the Senate $91.3 billion in additional funding. So there you go. You know what this administration says. The Obama administration insists that they're doing everything they can to disengage us from these two wars, including sending more troops. Of course, that if that sounds a little maddening to you, it must be because you don't understand. It might be because you, like a lot of us did, bought into the idea that electing Barack Obama would be putting someone in the White House who would not send more troops into these battles, but would withdraw more troops from these battles. And if you thought that way, like a lot of us did, the joke is on you. Unless, of course, you have a family member who is going to be sent to either Iraq or Afghanistan, then it's not a joke. Because when your son or daughter, your husband, your brother, your uncle, and in some instances your wife or your niece or your aunt, when they return, they will be different for the rest of their lives from the way you remember them, if they return. 5,000. George Orwell is rising from the dead. He has to be. As reported by the Daily Mail of the UK, hundreds of children as young as 10. I don't, you know, I hesitate because I'm looking at this again. I looked at this earlier today. I thought, no, that can't be. Hundreds of children as young as 10 are being urged to spot potential terrorists and report them to the police. This is in England. Up to 2,000 kids are to attend a safety event where a film will tell pupils that extremist views can develop at school. A nightmare extension of the Big Brother state that the UK is turning into, especially England has turned into, or what? According to the Daily Mail, concerns were also raised that children could become subject to police monitoring if their fellow pupils misinterpreted innocent remarks or play. Yeah, you know, when I was a kid, a million years ago, I used to draw pictures of F-86 Sabre jets. Why those, Mike? Because those were the planes that were used in the Korean War. And I used to draw these pictures in geography and English, and whenever I could take out a piece of paper and the teacher wasn't looking, I'd draw pictures of F-86 Sabre jets. And you know what they were doing? They were firing hell down on little stick figures that I had on the ground. In other words, I was killing people in the, you know, third, fourth, fifth, eighth, whatever the hell grade it was. And it was great fun. And on the playground, us kids used to stand there and talk about getting guns and shooting each other after school. We would choose up sides. One of us would be the Americans. The other ones would be the Germans. We were still playing that game from the long ago ended World War II. Right, what happens to these kids in England who start pretending to be Brits on one hand and Muslims on the other? You know, Brit non-Muslims and Brit Muslims, there you go, on the other. What happens then? Will some of the children report the other children to the police? Will the police then say, oh my God, we've got children over there in the school pretending to be Muslim terrorists. What's going on? Yes, they will. This is part of a long-running event called Streetwise that includes demonstrations on water hazards and first aid and fire safety. And now it's being expanded to teach children how to spot a terrorist. Really? Son of a bitch. Is it that simple that a kid can do it? Well, I guess it is. A spokesman for the police department said the reference to terrorism could encompass any extremists. Are you sitting down? Including animal rights activists. Yeah. Not just Islamic fundamentalists. How about Jews? How about Christians? I mean, Jews and Christians and Muslims take great sport in killing each other in certain areas of the planet, don't they? Animal rights activists. The children will be instructed on how to spot an animal rights activist that might be about to commit an act of terror. The police spokesman says, this is all something we need to be aware of across the country. We're not trying to scare anybody. We're just raising awareness. But a woman, Estelle Schmidt, who's a founder of the Campaign Against Criminalizing Communities, warned, quote, this is a nightmare scenario. This risks criminalizing children and is showing the expansion of the state into the most private areas, end quote. My goodness. Orwell rises from the dead, doesn't he? Talk about being prescient with 1984. Remember the movie, which was so well done? It was Richard Burton's last film, as a matter of fact. Do you remember the children who were instructed, of course, in much the same way as kids in any police state are instructed, to rat on their parents, to report their parents to the police, to the thought police. Remember that? If anybody's listening tonight in the UK, we'd love to get a phone call from you and tell us what in the hell is going on here.
Santa Claus does not exist and there's no Easter Bunny. You'll find out when you grow up that Rickard isn't funny.
Life's gonna suck when you grow up, when you grow up, when you grow up. Life's gonna suck when you grow up, it sucks pretty bad right now. You're gonna end up smoking crack on your back, face the fact. You're gonna end up hooked on smack and then you're gonna die.
Mike Malone.
There is all kinds of craziness about today. Over the past 24 hours, more so than usual, I think. For example, right over here in South Carolina, the governor, Mark Sanford, as you know, he's been insisting that he's not going to take $700 million in federal stimulus funds from the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, most of which would go to improving South Carolina's failing schools. The only thing that keeps Georgia's schools out of last place in the country is South Carolina. No, not Mississippi. South Carolina. South Carolina is a mess. South Carolina's education system, South Carolina's employment picture, South Carolina's political structure, everything about South Carolina until you get over to the rich sections along the coast, like Hilton Head and places like that, the rest of the state is a sump hole of what am I looking for here? Incompetence, idiocy, ignorance. South Carolina is a mess. And Mark Sanford represents that mess. That's the reason he is the Republican governor. According to Think Progress, denying his state needed stimulus funds is just the start of the governor's recent highly partisan moves. Yesterday, Think Progress reported that Sanford had refused to join a national school reform effort to set curriculum standards. And why did he refuse to join? Sanford claimed that he refused to sign on because, quote, the governor does not have a role in implementing education policy, end quote. What then is your job? Dumbass, you have no role in education policy in your state? But I digress. Now the governor's taken action on two bills that show where his priorities really lie. He vetoed a bill that would have not ended, but reined in a bit, predatory payday lending. Those places, I don't know if you have them in your state, where you know the interest rate is anywhere from 500 to, 5,000% interest. They're horrible, horrible places. You need $200 and your credit is so lousy you can't get $200. So you go in there and you get $200. And in turn, they depending on what chain of these monsters you're doing business with, they may ask you for 10 $30 checks or $25 checks. which would be $250, you're going to pay back for $200. Now, very quickly, can anyone in the class here figure out what that interest rate is? Remember, you have to have it paid back in 1 week or 2 weeks. So don't tell me, well, Mike, that's only 25% interest. No, 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 no. No, no, no. Sit down. Figure it out. Sanford vetoed a bill put out by the South Carolina legislature to try to stop that practice. But, oh, yeah, the reason he did it was because he said regulating payday loans was incompatible with, quote, limited government and maximized individual freedom, end quote. Now, one bill that he did sign will allow loaded guns on school property. You see? You see, and I've got several of these to bring your way tonight, several of these reports on the insanity, the sewer of insanity that is just engulfing this country. Governor Sanford rejects a bill that would have eased predatory lending and signs a bill that allows guns to go, loaded guns, to go on school grounds. The gun law Sanford signed allows anyone with a concealed weapons permit, anyone, and those are fairly easy to get in South Carolina, to leave a gun in their car, a loaded gun, while parked at a school, so that, according to the bill's sponsor, this guy named Shane Martin, first year, Republican from Spartanburg, so that teachers can more fully exercise their rights. Do you understand? So that teachers can more fully exercise their, you know, Second Amendment right. God damn it, I will carry loaded guns onto school property. I will leave them in my car. I hope to hell I remember to lock my car door, because if I don't, and some 15-year-old gets in there and he's really pissed off and gets a gun and kills three or four people, well, son of a bitch, Jesus must have wanted him to die then, I guess. There's more on this story. Stay with us. Is refusing to accept $700 million in federal stimulus funds. He's being sued by, I think, citizens groups over there, South Carolina. Most of that money would go to improving South Carolina's failing schools. All right, we've established that. He also, the other day, vetoed a bill that would have reined in predatory lending, payday lending, that can charge as much as, 5,000-6,000% interest. And he did sign a bill allowing loaded guns on school grounds. Now, the bill was sponsored by some little bastard named Shane Martin, who's Republican from Spartanburg. This is his first year, and this is his grand gesture, it's being called, to the National Rifle Association. The bill about guns, I can't understand this. The governor signs one that allows anyone with a concealed weapons permit to leave a gun in their car while parked at a school So that according to young Master Shane Martin, the Republic from Spartanburg, teachers can more fully exercise their rights. God damn. It's madness, isn't it? This stuff goes on all the time. Oh, I've got two or three more of these. So, it's pretty unbelievable. Now Shane Martin, when questioned about this, the sponsor of the bill said, well, I'm not trying to bring firearms inside the school. You don't need to carry it inside the school. But I've had teachers tell me they can't exercise their Second Amendment rights traveling to and from school. They ought to be able to travel to school without having to leave their weapon. End quote. My God. So while the governor of South Carolina refuses to accept federal stimulus funds that would fix crumbling schools in his putrid-ass state or prevent thousands of teacher layoffs like what is going on in California or crack down on some of the most predatory lending practices around, he was willing to sign a bill allowing guns to be taken onto school property. Is it time to leave yet? It's getting close. It really is. Also in South Carolina, human rights, people concerned with human rights and protections from the madness out there are protesting the exclusion of gay and lesbian relationships from a South Carolina bill meant to curb teen dating violence. Oh, there's a lot of violence in South Carolina. Are you kidding me? It's like Georgia, Mississippi, Alabama, Louisiana, you know, here in the bloodthirsty, crazed South. You know, the buckle of the Bible Belt, the South, where teen pregnancies are off the chart, venereal diseases, or STDs, I guess they're called now, are the highest in the country. Kids 15 and 16 getting pregnant, being forced to get married. Violence, murder, mayhem, right here in the Bible Belt. Goddamn, aren't you glad that this here is where Jesus comes in? Well, you need Jesus there. That's why we have so many churches. South Carolina bill meant to curb teen dating violence has excluded gay and lesbian relationships from the bill. A couple of representatives, Democrats, in the state house are among those criticizing last week's vote in the South Carolina House to bar any mention of gays from this proposed program for middle and high school students. It's being built as an education program. It's something that they're going to take in the schools and talk to the kids about teen violence, about dating violence. You shouldn't beat up on your girlfriend if she won't put out. You know, I mean, we have a thing here in the South where if the girl won't put out, well, smack the bitch around a little bit and then she'll put out. Well, we got to stop that now or we're going to get sued. So tell you what, here's the program. Now, if it's a queer couple, well, we don't talk about that here. We don't talk about that. A Republican named Greg Delaney of Chester, South Carolina, said he pushed to get that language taken out of the bill because he believes it could lead to school officials teaching children about same-sex relationships. Oh, no! Oh, no! Same-sex relationships! Well, by God, I'll tell you what, Ben. I'll tell you what, you psychopathic sons of bitches. I'm using a lot of bad language tonight, but I'm very, very pissed off. You should forgive me. I'll tell you what you sons of bitches over in South Carolina ought to do. Seriously. This is what you ought to do. You better get to work on the boys and the girls all the way down to kindergarten. Because you know what? They hang out together. And you know what? Boys hang out with boys and they touch one another. And little girls will hug and kiss. And little boys do the same. They hug and kiss. But the way they're taught to hug and kiss is to slap each other upside the head. But you know, if they're hugging and kissing these little girls today, and if they're slapping upside the head these little boys today when they're 5 and 6 and 7, you got got potential queers there. Do you understand that? Next thing you know, they're going to be teenagers, and they're going to want to hug and kiss and, you know, touch one another. You don't want that, do you? Because Jesus might get pissed off and delay the rapture for you psychopaths. You know what I'm saying? You better get to work quick on them children over there in South Carolina. They don't need no reading, writing, and arithmetic. Make sure they're loaded guns on campus and make sure that nobody talks about same-sex anything, because, you know, that might lead to touching and kissing and fondling and looking inside each other's pants. And you know where that's going to wind up, right? Huh? Right? Huh? Sick bastards. So I'll tell you what, you South Carolina legislators, you better get to work. I'll tell you one place you better stop all that queer stuff and that touching stuff and same-sex stuff is in the locker rooms, huh? You ever see those boys on your high school football teams touching each other's asses? You ever watch that? Whip. Oh, don't do that, Bruce. Whap. Oh, don't do that, Clarence. Huh? Have you ever seen that? Every time one of them does a good play on the gridiron, they grab each other's asses. Well, let me tell you something. I played football in high school, and you know what happens in the locker room? To use Greg Palast's phrase from his book, I think we now live in an armed madhouse. Let's not talk about same-sex violence, dating violence, because you know that might get the kids curious. Jesus Christ. And it's not all in the South. St. Paul, Minnesota. The Minnesota chapter of the Council on American-Islamic Relations today joined with two Jewish groups in asking political and religious leaders in Minnesota to repudiate a Minnesota rabbi's call to kill Arab men, women, and children, and to destroy the religious sites in Minnesota. In an article in the latest issue of something called Moment magazine, headlined, "How Should Jews Treat Their Arab Neighbors?" Rabbi Manus Friedman of the Ba'is Chana Institute of Jewish Studies in St. Paul, Minnesota, wrote the following, quote, "I don't believe in Western morality. In other words, don't kill civilians or children, don't destroy holy sites, don't fight during holiday seasons, don't bomb cemeteries, don't shoot until they shoot unless they shoot first because it's immoral. The only way to fight a moral war is the Jewish way. Destroy their holy sites. Kill men, women, and children. With their holy sites destroyed, they will stop believing that God is on their side." End quote. This is written by a rabbi in St. Paul, Minnesota, named Manus Friedman. "I don't believe in Western morality. You know, don't kill civilians or children. Don't destroy their holy sites. The only way to fight a moral war is the Jewish way. Destroy their holy sites. Kill the men, the women, and the children. Because with their holy sites destroyed, they will stop believing that God is on their side." End quote. Have I mentioned yet tonight how much I hate religious people like this? And how much I hate religion? There you go. The communications director for the Council on American Islamic Relations says, quote, "This disturbing call to genocide and religious desecration must be repudiated by all Minnesotans who value peaceful coexistence and interfaith harmony. Silence in the face of such extremist views will only serve to give the author a false sense of legitimacy and approval," end quote. Now, lest you think that, the Jews in leadership positions in Minnesota agree with this psychopathic son of a bitch who made the statement, I've got two quotes when we come back from Jewish leaders in that state repudiating what this crazed individual said. We'll be right back.
So dark night, I do not feel the moment. I do not catch the spark.
Another cup of coffee. Here's Mike Malloy.
It is 10 before the hour. So this psychopath who claims to be a rabbi in St. Paul, Minnesota, this guy named M-A-N-I-S, Manus Friedman of the Ba'is Chana Institute of Jewish Studies in St. Paul, writes that he believes in killing men, women, and children, who are not Jews, of course, and desecrating their holy sites, destroying them, burning them, and in that way they will stop believing that God is on their side. And the chairman of the Council in American Islamic Relations, or the communications director, issued a statement saying this disturbing call to genocide and religious desecration must be repudiated by all Minnesotans. Well, in a statement, Cecily Sarosky of Jewish Voice for Peace said, quote, Rabbi Manus Friedman's outrageous suggestion that killing Arab men, women, and children and destroying the religious sites is the Jewish way is an affront to all people, but especially Jews who value all life equally. While his statement in no way represents the views of the vast majority of Jews, we are alarmed by the increasing number of extremist settlers in Israel and their American supporters who share his refusal to acknowledge the value of Palestinian and Arab life. Far from bringing peace and security to Jews, this abhorrent disregard for the lives of non-Jews only leads to more bloodshed and war. And Rabbi Chaim Biliak, executive director of the National Education Foundation, HaMifgash, said, quote, the original quote and the apology by Manus Friedman suggest a debased morality and an atrophied ethical sensibility. Friedman does not speak for Judaism. There is no Judaism where neighbors, Jewish and non-Jewish, are treated without regard to their status as fellow human beings. Jewish ethics reminds us that we owe the other infinite obligations of care and concern, not only in theory, but in practice. In war and peace, the status of civilians and innocent bystanders must be respected. End quote. Isn't that the way it always happens? Someone whose brain has been eaten by militia groups and neo-Nazis in this country picks up a gun and shoots a physician. And the right-wing crazy people who have been advocating his shooting, advocating his murder, in very oblique terms, that would take someone with more than the education of the people who pick up a gun to understand. These are the people, the ones who advocate the violence, who then issue statements saying, well, violence is wrong. We've always said violence is wrong. Now, I am not referencing the two people, Chaim Biliak and Cecily Sarosky, both Jews, who issued statements of comment, a condemnation of this freak who said what he said. I'm just saying it always seems that no matter the group, right? If the group is focused on hatred, like so many of these groups are, and the overarching organizations that spawn these groups and these individuals are kind of contradictory to a degree that, like I said, the average person who picks up a gun and kills or burns down a mosque or a synagogue, the subtlety is lost on these jerkwads. If they see Bill O'Reilly saying what he says, or if they hear this psychopathic rabbi saying what he says, or if they hear some Jew hater saying what he says, then the first thing to do is go kill Jews, go kill gay people, go kill a doctor that occasionally performs a late-term abortion, go kill gay kids, go beat them to death. Son of a bitch, what has happened here? I mean, seriously, what has happened here? And there's more from KRXQ in Sacramento, some filthy, putrid radio station, 98.5 FM. They have a morning show there, Rob, Arnie, and Dawn in the morning. And a couple of days ago, they... apparently the show is a joke to begin with. It's just ugliness and cruelty, just whoever they can pick on. And you find that with these so-called shock jocks constantly. They really are rather swinish, aren't they? Those of you who live in Sacramento who listen to this program, how do you possibly tolerate this kind of broadcasting? Guess who they picked on? They picked on, and picked on is not the words, a vicious diatribe against transgender children, some as young as five. And apparently on their program, Rob Williams and Arnie States focused in particular on the case of one Omaha, Nebraska family raising a gender dysphoric child and the parents' decision to support the child's transition from male to female. These two shock jocks took turns referring to gender dysphoric children as idiots and freaks who are just out for attention and had a mental disorder that just needs to somehow be gotten out of them, either by verbal abuse on the part of the parents or even shock therapy. And there's more to this story. This is like what Michael Wiener Savage said about autistic children. What in the goddamn hell is wrong with these people? What is it? What is it that these people pick on children? Let me go get a Valium and we'll be back after the break. Seven past the hour, or thereabouts. Okay, time to calm down a little bit. I get a lot of emails, not tonight. I'll probably get them tomorrow on the podcast when podcast people hear the program. But a lot of emails about, you'd be a lot more effective in your rants if you didn't use such vile language. And I don't know how to do that. The people who write me that, you're probably very correct. I've had program directors at stations who carry this program ask me repeatedly, can you back off the language? And I try. God knows I try. But when I come across stories like this about a rabbi in St. Paul, Minnesota, advocating murder of children and men and women and destruction of their mosques, and what? How do you give that story calmly when it's about the governor of South Carolina saying no to federal stimulus money to help repair the schools, to bring the schools in South Carolina just up to minimal standards? And he says no, but he will sign a bill to allow loaded guns onto school campuses. How do you report and talk about these stories at the end of the day and remain calm? I can't do it. I admire people like Hartman who can get into the slime and the swamp. And Hartman reports on the same stuff I do. He talks about it, but he gets guests on, and I guess that kind of diffuses some of the rage he must feel. But I envy people like that who can present these items, this reality, and not go just gibbering insane. I've been noticing lately, I watch as much as I can of Keith Olbermann's program right before we come on. He's on MSNBC, and I've noticed some cracks around that laid-back facade of Keith Olbermann, that it's starting to get to him. I've also noticed the same with Rachel Maddow. You know, just as incredibly good as those two are in bringing some honesty to television, as good as they are, I notice, especially on Olbermann, that it's starting to take a toll. And I feel it, too. I mean, I really do. I'm not on television. But Olbermann and Rachel do, what do they do, an hour? We do three every single night. And sometimes the stuff we have to talk about is really brain churning and stomach churning. And the latest is this story from Sacramento, KRXQ, or I guess it's called 98.5 out there, probably Q98.5. And their morning program, Rob, Arnie, and Dawn in the Morning, going after, with a vicious diatribe, children, some as young as five, transgender children, kids who start to tell their moms and dads at a very young age. And there's a clearly definable a diagnosis here. It is gender dysphoria, or a gender dysphoric child. And they begin to tell their parents, and they tell them repeatedly that there is something wrong. There's something wrong. These kids appear to be little boys, but the wiring inside their heads is that of a little girl, and they're stuck in the boy body, or vice versa. Little boys whose wiring inside their heads dictates to them that they are girls, but they're stuck inside the boy body, or the whatever, you know what I mean. So what do you do with children like this? According to these rat bastards on KRXQ in Sacramento, what you do to them is beat them, kick them, yell at them, stomp on them, treat them like scum. One of these pigs on this radio station said, allowing transgenders to exist, pretty soon it becomes normal to fall in love with the animals, end quote. See, there they go again, advocating in an oblique way, aren't they? Allowing them to exist. What's the opposite of that? Killing them. Now, one of these pigs, this guy Arnie States, bragged that if his own son were to ever dare put on a pair of high heels, Mr. States would beat his son with one of his own shoes. He urged parents whose own little boys expressed a desire to wear a dress to verbally abuse and degrade them. And then he said, because you know what? Boys don't wear high heel shoes. And in my house, they definitely don't wear high heels. I'm going to go, you know what? You're a little idiot. You little dumbass. He sneered, adding later, I look forward to when these transgender children go out into society and society beats them down. End quote. And they wind up what, Arnie States? These kids. Totally effed up because of freaks like you, or dead because of freaks like you? Yeah, I know. You don't advocate killing them, do you? Michael Rowe, writing at Huffington Post, brought this up. And Michael writes, in light of the well-publicized suicides this year of the two boys who took their own lives because of bullying and harassment for, quote, acting gay, end quote, which in modern American, North American teenagers, that often refers to acting in a way considered unmasculine by their peers. But in light of all this information is out there, the stunning lack of moral sensibility on the part of these two rat bastards on KRXQ in Sacramento is breathtaking. But it also points to the increasingly degraded landscape of talk radio. Michael Rowe goes on, the causal link between O'Reilly's obsessive baiting of abortion provider Dr. George Tiller on Fox and Tiller's murder on Sunday as he was ushering in his Kansas City church is currently being explored, an exploration particularly relevant in the case of these three people on KRXQ in Sacramento and the potential violent fallout from their inexplicably rage-filled invective against not only transgender children, but even boys who err on the feminine side of standard adolescent behavior, behavior that Mr. Arnie States and the other freak, Rob Williams, consider unnatural because, quote, men are hunters and women are gatherers, end quote. Good God. I didn't know that Sacramento had this kind of garbage on the air. How do you people? I don't think they even go that far here in the bloody South. Not in Atlanta. Not that I'm aware of. Of course, I don't listen to a lot of Atlanta radio. But how do you people put up with that? Let's see. Which one of these bastards was it? Was it States, probably, who said, I'm not, quote, I'm not open-minded once I look into something. I have every right to call you a freak and judge you on that. It makes me sick. Mommy, I'm a girl trapped in a boy's body, he simpered, mimicking an effeminate little boy. I want to wear a dress. And they berated the third person in there, their co-host Don Rossi, who seemed genuinely horrified by the rising crescendo of ugliness towards children and their parents. And they responded by saying to the female of this trio, you're actually defending allowing people to become freaks? A boy who wants to wear a dress is a freak, a nut. And then they compared transgendered children to, on Maury Povich's show, fat bastard kids on Maury. States and Williams then urged advocates of transgender children to stop hiding behind research and laws, whose authority they wholeheartedly reject. Braying with the certitude of the jubilantly ignorant, States and Williams revealed to listeners that, quote, transgenders did not exist four decades ago. Apparently unaware of the historical fact that transgender individuals have existed in every culture throughout recorded history, including Native American cultures, where the so-called two-spirited were revered as teachers, healers, and shamans. This is brutality. All one needs is to know a child. Any child. They're small, they're vulnerable, and their world is populated with gods whose divinity is derived solely from the fact that they are adults. And States and Williams chose to use that authority to attack a segment of the childhood population who are more vulnerable than almost any other. Dear God.
It's a hard life, it's a hard life, it's a very hard life. It's a hard life wherever you go. And if we poison our children with hate, then the hard life is all we can go.
It's about 22 past the hour. So what we're talking about here is this guy, Rob Williams, and this other freak, Arnie States, who apparently do a morning show in Sacramento on KRXQ 98.5 FM, who spent the better part of the morning last week beating up on helpless children who happen to be dealing with what is called gender dysphoria or gender dysphoric children. Those are kids who are boys in appearance, but their brains are wired, literally wired, to be girls. And little girls who are in a girl's body, but whose brains are wired, literally wired, to be little boys. And the horrific psychological bind that puts these kids in. So they do what they can. They turn to their parents, and some enlightened parents have decided to try to deal with this, to help these kids through therapy, and eventually, if there's a matter of a sex change operation, so be it. But what is it about any sort of reference to sex that is not sterile, kind of let me rape you, baby, heterosexual sex, that throws right-wingers and these neo-Nazis into absolute panic states where they get vicious. They get vicious against women. They get vicious against children. They get vicious against teenage boys and girls. What is with these people? I mean, is it fun to listen to? Is there an audience in Sacramento, California for this garbage? I realize that's where the pig man got his start, but that was 30 years ago. Is there something out there in Sacramento? Is there an audience in Sacramento? I could say the same thing about San Francisco. Is there an audience in San Francisco for a pig like a Michael Wiener Savage to beat up on autistic children? I don't give a goddamn how many apologies he makes. What is with these people? They go after kids. Is this part of the shock jock thing? Does this bring in a huge segment of audience? Does this make the advertisers happy? Son of a bitch, we struggle here constantly because of my point of view, which is decidedly left in America. In other countries, what I talk about would be considered yawn ho-hum, another centrist talk show dude. In this country, it's considered liberal left. And we struggle to stay on the air. And these rotten sons of bitches can do this day in and day out and bring in advertising dollars and bring in audience? What the hell is going on? These two punk asses at KRXQ 98.5 FM in Sacramento chose to use their adult authority to attack children. Children who are more vulnerable than almost any other group of kids. As Michael Rowe writes at Huffington, transgender children are at a point in their lives where they feel their own bodies are the enemy and alien to them. Many of them go to bed praying that when they wake up, their bodies and their inner gender will be aligned. That's not the way they say it, of course, but that's what they mean, these kids. But this piece of human crap states, Arnie states on this radio station in Sacramento says, quote, if the kid ever gets to be 18 and says, I still feel like a woman, you say, get out, go be a freak. And understand, son, that society will never accept you because we still have some moral judgment. End quote. Is that what you people in Sacramento listen to? Do you really? That's what these right-wing animals have come to. And if you're an animal lover, I'm sorry. I'm using the term in a very derogatory way. These people do not have a spark of humanity inside of them. They really don't. The ones that pray for somebody else's death, they pray to their sick god that doctors that provide abortion services will die or be shot or killed. They attack children. They attack gays. They attack Jews. They attack Muslims. They anybody they can get their filthy talons into. And that's entertainment? That's a fun thing? That's what people do on radio stations, these shock jocks in the morning? And this is what you want to hear when you're in traffic in Sacramento? I've been in Sacramento. In the summertime, it's hot as hell. You can hardly breathe. Is this what you want to hear on your way into work? Beating up on children? God damn! It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Just unbelievable.
Send us along. There's a surrogate band. We're gonna find out where you friends really stand. Are there any queers in the theater tonight? Get them up against the wall. Now there's one in the spotlight. He don't look right to me. Get him up against the wall. And that one looks Jewish. And that one's a cool. Whoever is, we frap into the room. There's one smoking a joint and another with spots. If I had my way, I'd have all their shots.
Defining anger management. It's Mike Malloy.
Everybody scatters and hopes it goes away.
25 before the hour. You know, Oberman and Al Babe sent this to me. He's an Oberman fan, as I am. Oberman has suggested that people vote with our feet where it concerns businesses that when you go in, there's a waiting room and they have this Fox News channel on. Fox News channel is a terrorist organization for idiots. It is. It is a propaganda machine for the right wing in this country. It is. It reports news in the same way that Timothy McVeigh expressed displeasure with the government that sent him into the first Gulf War. It's a real nest of bad people, evil people, Fox News is. So what to do? Oberman posed that question, what to do about Bill O'Reilly and the Fox News Channel and General Glenn Beck and Hannity and the rest of these people who take great sport in inspiring their lessers to acts of violence, who take great sport in putting out for public consumption half-truths, untruths, lies, distortions. And it's fun to these people. It is fun. And they make millions because corporate America sees them. That's what they are. It's a protection racket. It protects corporate America. These people do. So what to do about Fox? This is what Oberman said. What to do? A viewer boycotts mean little. You're already here watching MSNBC. You are not watching Fox News Channel. Advertising boycotts are of limited value. Most make barely a dent in a company. Besides which, in this economy, an advertiser who found its sales boosted by association with malaria would start breeding mosquitoes. If there is a solution, it is perhaps an indirect boycott. It is probably your experience, as it has been mine, that stores, bars, restaurants, waiting rooms often show Fox News on their televisions. Don't write a letter. Don't make a threat. Just get up and explain if they will not change the channel. You will leave the place and say calmly why it is you're taking your business elsewhere. If you know of a viewer of that channel, show them the tape of the attacks on Dr. Tiller that set the stage for his assassination. Fox News Channel will never restrain itself from incitement to murder and terrorism, not until its profits begin to decline, when its growth stops. So not so much a boycott here as a quarantine. Because this has got to stop. And Al Babe says, I'd like to add to that that I already do this, and it really does have an impact. After all, businesses aren't going to anger the few customers they have left. I truly wish there was some way to get this poisonous right-wing dialogue by mostly white males in this society who inject mostly, not exclusively, white females. And there's a couple of black males, too, who do this. But for the most part, it's white males who make tons of money and inject this poison. It's just a constant stream into the minds of people who tune in these programs. And I know a lot of people say, oh, come on, Malloy, for Christ's sake, give us some credit. We don't get influenced by that crap. Yes, you do. Of course you do. I mean, come on. Every prejudice that you have is the result of listening to voices telling you to have those prejudices, whether it was your preacher or your parents or the talk radio guy or a right-wing politician. Where do you think this stuff comes from? You know, that's one of the things that I was talking about this the other night that just makes me extremely nervous about having a child to raise again. It makes me question my other children who are fully formed adults and off on their careers and this and that. But, I just wonder, what did I put in their heads? What am I putting into Molly's head? And I wonder that because I see this garbage, this filth and hatred that is just pumped out there endlessly. This destruction of even a whisper of what this country thought it might be someday when they put together our Constitution, all shredded, beaten down. I mean, and I just wonder what kids are thinking. We graduated more young people in this country this June than ever in the history of this country. Forget the baby boom generation. Forget that. That's history. It's a big demographic now. But wait till this generation moves like a coconut through a python, the way the baby boom generation did. It's even bigger this generation than ours that screwed things up so badly. But these kids are graduating, this huge graduating class, into what? I keep seeing these reports on television about how there's not enough jobs to maintain, and you know this, obviously, unemployment rate is around 14%. Don't believe the garbage that you see on TV, 8.9. Oh, hog snot. It's 14% if it's that low. So here you have this huge unemployment factor here, and all of a sudden coming into the labor market, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of fresh graduates who only want what they were told was theirs. If they just stayed in school, if they did well, they studied, don't do drugs, don't get pregnant, don't become a jerk, stay where you are, stay in school, don't quit. So here they are. Now what? And I just wonder what these kids who are exposed to what is happening in this country, domestically and in our relationships with the rest of the world, and I don't know. Is Obama trying to rectify things? I don't know anymore. I don't know what to think about Obama. I really don't. I'm just going to leave that out of the equation. Young people who are fresh from an education of some sort, I don't even know what kind of an education is considered a good one anymore. Oh, I know. Princeton, Yale, Harvard, Columbia, Brown, Boston. Okay. What about everything else? You know, USC, UCLA, Stanford. University of Chicago, UIC. I don't know what are they turning out now? I know there has been an unending assault on education, certainly in the primary and secondary schools. Don't teach them science. Don't teach them archaeology. Don't teach them biology. Don't teach them any of that stuff. Teach them creation science. I get worried. And I just wonder, most people my age are long finished with the process of helping to form the attitudes and minds of another little human being. And it's a delicate situation that Kathy and I are in with Molly, and we're both fully aware of it. More so, I guess, because of what we do for a living, which I frankly am getting very, very sick of doing, frankly. But because we are constantly discussing this stuff, constantly confronting it, constantly researching it, and coming up with just instance after instance of betrayal to the kids. Jews are bad. Queers are bad. Same-sex marriage is bad. A woman seeking abortion is bad. War is good. Consumer stuff is good. Voting Republican is good. Immigrants are bad. Muslims are bad. Just a steady onslaught. How does a child handle that? And I try to look at my own life and figure, okay, what were you taught? Well, I was taught to duck and cover, for one thing. I grew up with fear. My whole goddamn life has been supposed to have been centered around fear of instant annihilation. And I said, F that, no, to hell with that. I'm not going to do that. I still had to do the drills. But what are these kids being brought up with? I think about that with Molly. I look at Molly. She'll be 5 in a month, 6 weeks. She'll be 5 years old. And I think, whew. And then I think about these kids who are dealing with stuff that is just incomprehensible to some of these half-witted adults. And so the half-witted adults do what they can only do. They teach the kids hatred and bigotry and prejudice and stupidity and ignorance, willful ignorance. Don't be smart. Don't educate yourself. Don't listen to someone else's cry for understanding. If you hear a cry for understanding, smash the son of a bitch, because he or she is a freak, a gook, a queer, a junkie, unworthy. You understand? I could go down the list of names and slurs, but why bother? Scary times, you know what I'm saying?
And what did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? What did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? I learned that war is not so bad. I learned about the great ones we have had. We fought in Germany and in France, and someday I might get my chance. And that's what I learned in school today. That's what I learned in school. And what did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? What did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? I learned our government must be...
The Mike Malloy Show. Talk radio matters here.
Time before the hour, Sean in Allen, Texas writes, Mike, I caught part of last night's discussion regarding the airing of Fox News in public places, as well as the various approaches taken by several listeners for subtly changing the channel. I thought you might be interested in knowing that there actually is a nifty little device called the TV Be Gone that is designed for just such an occasion. The TV Be Gone is a universal remote whose sole purpose is to continuously issue off commands in virtually every TV language with the press of a button. It comes in the form of a key fob and discreetly fits into the palm of your hand. You can check it out at www.tvbgone.com. TVbgone.com. Just imagine the fun you could have with one of these puppies. Your friend Sean in Allen, Texas. I went to that website. Yeah, there it is. It doesn't change the channel. It just shuts the damn thing off. So if you want to check it out, you want to have some fun, TVB. Those are all letters. Letter T, letter V, letter B, gone. TVBgone.com. Not that we're advocating that you shut off anyone's television. Just it's a fun device. Maybe you want to... There was an unveiling of the statue of Ronald Reagan today, right? at the White House. I saw some of it. They had Nancy Reagan there. I have to admit that I feel very sad for her. Say what you want about her husband. She genuinely is lost without him. I don't know how she continues to walk about this mortal coil. She really does deeply miss him. So it's kind of sad to see. Usually when I know Nancy Reagan is going to be out and about, I tend to go a different direction because I feel very sorry for her. I really do, like I would for anybody who was in that situation. So the unveiling today of a huge statue of Ronald Reagan in the White House? Is it the... I guess it was the White House. I don't know. And somebody sent me a link to an article that appeared in The Nation in March of 1998 and then again in June of 2004. We're talking about ancient history here, man. This is like 11 years ago and 5 years ago. It was written by David Korn. And the original... David Korn wrote the original shortly after Ronald Reagan National Airport was named as such. It used to be, what was it called, Washington National. They changed it to Reagan National. And it's quick here. The article is entitled 66 Things to Think About When Flying into Reagan National Airport. Some of you will get this, some of these things, and some of it will just fly right by you. It depends on your age. Here you go. 66 Things to Think About When Flying into Reagan National Airport. The firing of the air traffic controllers, winnable nuclear war, recallable nuclear missiles, trees that cause pollution, Elliot Abrams lying to Congress, ketchup as a vegetable, colluding with Guatemalan thugs, pardons for FBI lawbreakers, voodoo economics, budget deficits, toast to Ferdinand Marcos, public housing cutbacks, red-baiting the nuclear freeze movement, James Watt, getting cozy with Argentine fascist generals, tax credits for segregated schools, disinformation campaigns, quote, homeless by choice, end quote, Manuel Noriega, falling wages, the housing and urban development scandal, air raids on Libya, quote, constructive engagement, end quote, with apartheid South Africa. United States Information Agency blacklists of liberal speakers. Attacks on the Occupational Safety and Health Administration and workplace safety. The invasion of Grenada. Assassination manuals. Nancy's astrologer. Drug tests. Lie detector tests. Fawn Hall. Mining harbors. The SNL scandal. 239 dead U.S. troops in Beirut. Al Haig saying, I'm in control here. Silence on AIDS, food stamp reductions, debate gate, White House shredding, Jonas Savimbi, tax cuts for the rich, quote, mistakes were made, end quote. Michael Deaver's conviction for influence peddling, Lynn Nofziger's conviction for influence peddling, Casper Weinberger's five-count indictment, Ed Meese, you don't have many suspects who are innocent of a crime, Donald Regan, women don't understand throw weights. Education cuts. Massacres in El Salvador. The bombing begins in 5 minutes. $640 Pentagon toilet seats. African-American judicial appointees, 1.9%. CIA-sponsored car bombings in Lebanon. More than 80 civilians killed. 200 Reagan administration officials accused of wrongdoing. William Casey, Iran-Contra. Facts are stupid things. 3x5 cards, the MX missile, Bitburg, SDI, Robert Bork, Naps, Teflon. It wasn't that long ago, Truth Seeker. Of course, if you're 35 years old, you're only 10 when this craziness began with Ronald Reagan. No, you weren't even 10. It's 1980, wasn't it? I've forgotten some of this. I really had. Not the mining of the harbors referred to mining the harbors of Nicaragua, which was, you see, Republican, it was a war crime. It was in violation of the Geneva Conventions. You don't mine the harbors of a nation with which you are not at war. And even then, Jesus God, I mean... Assassination manuals. I know a lot of you out there who are, say, 45 or 50 or older, you remember those books put together by the CIA explaining how to assassinate people. And you know, I talk about this all the time, but I don't make the reference. You know, I refer to the CIA as a terrorist organization, and people under the age of 40 don't know what the hell I'm talking about. Well, Malloy sounds like a commie, like he hates the country. No, goddammit, I hate the CIA. Because it murders people. Why does it murder people? Because they're in the way. Because they won't do what we tell them to do. So yeah, I'd forgotten a lot of this. The massacres in El Salvador. Who could forget that, right? Before the hour, this is the Malloy program. A couple emails here, one from Captain Mary in Memphis and one from Prairie 2. Let's start with Captain Mary. The subject line is gay kids, and she writes, I remember a gay boy I knew when he was in his early teens. Excuse me. He used to come to see me because I was someone who didn't harass him. One day his mother phoned in tears, saying she knew her son was gay and asking if I could convince him not to be gay. I was young and stupid. I just said I didn't know how to do that and told her that the boy had a good heart and was kind and thoughtful with me. For example, he cooked me dinners and conversed on topics that he knew I particularly enjoyed, as well as those that concerned him almost exclusively. That's pretty amazing for a teen, if you'll pardon my cynicism. But here was my big fear for him, and it remains my fear today for both gay kids and straight kids. This boy was caught up in images and the conviction that he had to buy things so he could fit into society. This included things to make people look young and beautiful forever. He had no concept at that age that his handsome face would invariably wrinkle, or that fashionable clothes wouldn't hide it. He thought that he could ignore schoolwork and certain social skills merely because he could get whatever he wanted at that age, merely by being good-looking and fashionable. I wish I could have talked him out of that, but I couldn't. Add advertisers to the list of bastards who manipulate people into wanting things they don't need, into wanting to be beautiful shells with nothing inside. Captain Mary. Yeah, that's so true. So true. You know, the irony, I was mentioning this massive generation of graduates that is supposed to be entering the workforce now, but there's no workforce to enter. And how they have been hammered. They are an advertising cohort. That's how they're seen by the manufacturers or the agencies that are supposed to provide the market for this garbage that comes from the rest of the world because we don't make anything here anymore. But the ads that are targeted at kids, young people, teenagers, and the college age group, it's pretty astonishing. It's pretty astonishing to... It's not just these kids, I mean, back in the 50s, they were doing the same thing. But this idea that the Cat Mary's talking about, that, hey, listen, psst, come here, kid. You're going to be real happy if you buy this and wear that and put this stuff on and, excuse me, make sure your hips are slim enough and wear this eye makeup or comb your hair this way. And I realize that that's nothing unusual. I'm sure they were doing it back in the roaring 20s or the gay 90s. Long time ago. But I just wonder sometimes if the pioneers rumbling across the prairie, you know, slaughtering Indians and setting up towns here and there, if they used to compare each other's wagons and say, well, you know, I get... I've been using this through three horses. How many horses have you used? Well, I've only used one, and then my wagon broke. Well, mine's lasted through three horses. How about that? I don't know. All right. Excuse me. This is from Prairie 2. I hear dead people. The ghost of Osama bin Laden rose up yet again to comment on President Obama's visit to the Middle East. A U.S. counterterrorism official confirmed off the record that it was bin Laden and that there had never been a fake bin Laden tape. You know, some people don't know enough to stop lying while they're ahead. I hear dead people. Crude oil prices slipped today on reports that U.S. inventories are up 3 million barrels over last month. Commodities in general are up, with reports that China's economy is booming. Meanwhile, the dollar continues to weaken against other currencies. The Fed is having a hard time keeping Treasury bond prices down, despite the Fed having purchased huge blocks of them. This is driving up home loan rates that are pegged to these bonds. If they can't get a handle on this, the house of cards could come tumbling down. But consider how bizarre this really is, that the U.S. Treasury is selling bonds to the Federal Reserve to finance government debt. The Federal Reserve burned through their reserves almost 2 years ago and has been printing trillions of dollars since then. There were constant reassurances on the corporate media today that things aren't going downhill at quite the breakneck speed of last month. The local news most places is dominated by business bankruptcies, layoffs, and closures. Fed Chairman Bernanke testified today that the recovery could be slow. Maybe he's not printing money fast enough. I'm going to run off some labels with dollar signs on them and stick them on my canned goods. Pray too. Sometimes I don't know if this guy is a genius or just sick. You know, he's either so far ahead of the curve or so much of a cynic. I don't care. He's I like his stuff. Go to his website, prairie2.com. Prairie2.com. Thanks, Bruce. Howard Dean says, forget bipartisan health care reform. Forget about it. Forget about it. You know, that's one thing Obama has got to do. Stop. You know, stop acting like you're going to get a human-like response from Republicans. You're not. Forget it. You know, you got your majority. Go. Do what needs to be done. Howard Dean said a public health insurance option is more important than bipartisanship, and the Democrats should pass health care legislation that includes the option, public health insurance, with 51 votes if necessary. And I think that's, let me digress, I think that's what the plan is now. I really do. There is talk about setting up a government-sponsored health insurance program. Government-sponsored health insurance program. You know, not government doctors, not long waiting lists, a government-sponsored health insurance program as an option for people who... might be tired of paying $12,000 a year for health insurance that if the health insurance industry was not run like the weapons industry, would probably cost you maybe $3,000 a year. But anyway, the move is it's my understanding, inside the Obama administration to get this set up this year, by October, November, the option for people to get out of the private market that is run inefficiently. The private health care market is not there to provide health care. In the first place, it's sick care. It's not health care. It's sick care. But they're not there to provide even that. What the sick care industry, the insurance industry, is there for is to deny your claim. That's all. And those claims now go to, of course, and not now, they have been going to India, where some Indian college graduate will sit there and try to figure out ways, by being able to examine the minutiae of your contract and the details of your application of the contract, to find anything upon which they can hang a rejection sign for whatever it is that you had done. I just read that in today's New York Times, I think. Anyway, Howard Dean added that Democrats should have, quote, no intention, end quote, of working with Republicans if it's not the strongest possible legislation that could be passed with a simple majority. If you can get it, in other words, with 51 votes, and you don't need the Republicans, screw them. Walk away from them. They're no damn good.
What would you do if I sang out of tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me? Lend me your ears and I'll sing you a song.
Time to practice your synchronized screaming. It's Mike Malloy.
It is 21 past the hour. Anyway, finishing up this Howard Dean statement regarding health insurance, Howard Dean is saying, you know, screw the Republicans. Obama just ought to press ahead and get the legislation, if that includes the and that includes the option with 51 votes, if necessary, you know, just simple majority. But he says, quote, if Republicans want to shill for insurance companies, then we should do it with 51 votes, end quote. He said that during a news conference at the first day of the Liberal America's Future Now conference in Washington, D.C. Dean, though, went on and praised what he called President Obama's realist approach to trying to pass health care reform. Dean said, quote, what I like about Barack Obama's plan is he is a realist, end quote. Dean added that private insurers aren't going away, and that polling shows people are generally happy with their private health care, if they have it. He said it should be all about giving people a choice of signing up for a public option. But he added, on the other hand, quote, on the other hand, if you you don't want to take something away either, end quote. And Dean repeated a line of the president's, giving him credit in doing so. He said, quote, if you like what you have, you can keep it, end quote. Yeah, sure. Why not? Elaine, who is still stuck in the Poconos, writes about youth. Guess what? Through the internet, the one great thing about this young generation, between being tech savvy and therefore having such a plethora of information available to them, I honestly have hope. Both my 19-year-old and my 21-year-old have joined this organization, and she lists it down here, as well as being a hell of a lot more active in last year's campaign than I ever was at their ages. Yes, Mike, if we bring them up to be responsible and respectful of others, I honestly think this new generation is our real hope. And the website, and I went to it during the break, you ought to check it out. It's genwe.org, G-E-N-W-E, like Generation We, Gen, G-E-N-W-E. Genwe.org. Interesting site. Check it out. Camille writes, Mike, I'm about your age, and although I don't have any children of my own, I've worked with thousands of children through my after-school nonprofit arts program and another program called Counsel, based on a Native American form, dialoguing through the telling of our stories in circles. I've worked with children from first grade through master's degree candidates, and although the job market is bad, I see change for the better where you see hopelessness. As Thich Nhat Hanh said, quote, an enemy is someone whose story has not yet been heard, end quote. Counsel, her program, is being used in the public school system, and the children's stories are being heard, and the children are listening. The racism and hatred you talk about has always been there, and frankly, it was a lot worse in the country before. Lynching, segregations, women treated as property, girls dying from illegal abortions, domestic violence, the depression with no FDIC or Social Security, the dropping of bombs on people, etc., atomic bombs on people, etc. The difference is that today we know about it. So it may seem darker and more futile, but to me the darkness we see is actually a result of more light shining on the darkness so we can see it. We cannot make change if we don't know something exists that needs changing. I see this as the patriarchy, or to be less gender specific, the dominator paradigm rearing its ugly head in a last desperate attempt to, quote, win, end quote, against a partnership paradigm. Mike, when I was in college in the 60s, I could never have imagined a half African American president, a Latina Supreme Court judge, a female Speaker of the House, whatever you think of her, an openly gay member of the House of Representatives, child labor laws, rape not being the woman's fault, and more. There's lots more to do here and around the world, but we really have come a long way, baby. Camille. Okay. My negativity or pessimism should be offset by an equal portion of positivity and optimism. So, Camille serves that function tonight. I hope we balance each other rather than canceling each other. Tomorrow is the 20th anniversary, if that's the right word. Commemoration might be better, of the Tiananmen Square massacre. We'll talk about this tomorrow night. But Hillary Clinton, I'm having some trouble with this. Hillary Clinton has urged China to publicly account for those killed in the suppression of the Tiananmen Square protest 20 years ago. She said in a statement that the anniversary was a chance for China to, quote, reflect upon the meaning of the events that preceded that day, end quote. She said China, quote, should examine openly the darker events of its past and provide a public accounting of those killed, detained, or missing, both to learn and to heal, end quote. She also said, quote, China can honor the memory of that day by moving to give the rule of law, the protection of internationally recognized human rights, and democratic development the same priority as it has given to economic reform, end quote. Okay, but does the United States have the moral authority at this point, and I think it does not, to lecture the Chinese or anybody on earth until Mrs. Clinton, we reflect upon the meaning of the events of the past 8 years? You understand what I'm saying there?
But hanging on is easy when you've got a friend to call, when nothing's making sense at all. You're not the only one who's afraid of change.
Arm yourself with the truth. It's more Mike Malloy.
Fat Charlie the Archangel sloped into the room. He said, I have no opinion about this, and I have no opinion about
it. It is 25 before the hour. I don't think the Tiananmen Square massacre of 20 years ago should be trivialized by any U.S. Secretary of State at this point making those kinds of inquiries. You lead by example, and the United States has given up that role. We do not lead by example anymore, except the example of how to torture people, how to invade countries without provocation. You know, the goddamn nerve of anybody in this government, as horrifying as the attack on the Chinese people by the people's so-called, what is it, People's Liberation Army? Is that what they were called? Where hundreds, we'll never know the exact figure, hundreds of Chinese protesters, young people, students, were gunned down, slaughtered. And there's a whole generation in China doesn't even know the story. But how dare anyone in the United States government make that kind of a statement after what we did in Iraq? And we did our filth in Iraq after Tiananmen Square, the first time and the second time, and it's still ongoing. This is the part that drives me insane. When Hillary Clinton says China, quote, should examine openly the darker events of its past. What? Okay. What about us, Mrs. Clinton? She goes on, and provide a public accounting of those killed, detained, or missing. Sounds like a great idea. Are you advocating for that in this country, Mrs. Clinton? Both to learn and to heal, she says. To learn and to heal. She also says, like I quoted a moment ago, quote, China can honor the memory of that day by moving to give the rule of law and the protection of internationally recognized human rights and democratic development the same priority it has given to economic reform. See, once again, the audacity of that. Honor the memory of that day by moving to give the rule of law priority. Mrs. Clinton, you represent a country that has taken the rule of law and thrown it in the nearest toilet. What are you talking about? This is the hypocrisy, you see. This is what drives the rest of the world crazy. Not that anyone in this country gives a goddamn if the rest of the world is crazy, but this is where it comes from. This kind of lecturing, this kind of committing acts of torture, setting up a gulag around the earth. We don't know. We will never know unless there's a truth and a reconciliation commission in this country, as there was in South Africa. We're never going to know where it is we sent people to be tortured. Depending on whom you want to listen to, you know, we don't just have Abu Ghraib and Guantanamo and Bagram Air Base in Afghanistan. We have a dozen, a score, several dozen so-called black sites where we send people to be tortured and eventually killed. And a representative of this government is going to lecture the Chinese. What the Chinese did was, the government did was atrocious. Was it more or less atrocious, or does it not matter? Of the night of shock and awe when we, in 2003, launched an attack against Iraq that was just outrageous and illegal and vile. So, or is this not something that should be put in balance like this? I mean, is it wrong of me, for example, to say that Hillary Clinton has no right to say anything to the Chinese, especially in a luxury attitude about examining openly the darkest events of its past, when we have accumulated decades of darker events of our past? Is there not equivalency here? Am I saying things that don't exist? Is Hillary Clinton perfectly correct as the Secretary of State of the United States to say to the Chinese, you should move to give the rule of law priority? You should move to the protection of internationally recognized human rights. Give it priority. Internationally recognized human rights. Like in what, Mrs. Clinton? The Geneva Conventions? So here in this country, of course, for the most part, not you, Truth Seeker, but for the most part, and certainly not me, people in this country will take a look tomorrow, maybe, if any of them still read, or somebody on television will bring this comment up. And people in this country will say, yeah, you know, those goddamn dirty Chinese, look what they did in Tiananmen Square 20 years ago. Boy, those filthy pigs. Boy, those dirty commies. If they are dirty commies and filthy pigs, then why are you buying products? Every single item in your house probably is from China. Why are you doing that? But if you believe in A, that they are dirty, rotten pigs for what they did, do you also believe in B, that we are dirty, rotten pigs for what we did? Or do you have the attitude, and this is the attitude of most Americans, no, 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 we're not dirty, rotten pigs. Just the Chinese are dirty, rotten pigs. They killed 400, 500, 600, 700, 800 of their own people. Oh, okay. So what we are doing and have done is not to be mentioned, or is not a question of equivalent acts of terror. What? I mean, where do we start lecturing, and when do we stop committing the same acts about which we lecture? You know, the rest of the world knows this about us. They understand the hypocrisy. They listen. They read the news reports of Hillary Clinton telling the Chinese what to do. And they just kind of look at each other and go back to milking their goats or whatever the hell they do in these countries that we have so thoroughly ruined. But they understand. They understand. They know. And you know, too. And I know. But we play along, don't we? Huh? We just play along. Safer that way, isn't it? Yeah. Matthew is in Akron, Ohio, listening on Sirius. Hey, Matthew.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
I'm all right.
All righty. You want to speak to a British guy about what's going on over the pond?
Yeah.
Well, there's numerous points about this. I did actually vote for that Labour government, as much as it pains me now in hindsight, because they really do, I feel, have picked up on the fear, culture of fear.
It seems like the whole world has sunk into that. You're referring to that story about the kids in, I think it's only England, maybe it's in the rest of the UK, but kids being taught to spot terrorists, right?
Well, yeah, it'll be the entire UK, whatever comes out of Westminster pervades the Scotland and Wales and Northern Ireland too. But mm-hmm. It's kind of strange, you know, because for the first 25 years of my life, I lived with the IRA.
Right.
You know, and, you know, we had nothing like that. You know, we didn't have the police coming into the schools asking us to spy on each other.
Yeah, so why now, do you think?
Well, as I say, it's the culture of fear. I think Gordon Brown's government is hanging by a thread, and it's, you know, the only thing they've got is the terrorism.
You know, I saw the headline in today's New York Times, but I sadly did not read the article. I'll probably read it tonight before I go to bed. But about the British government collapsing, the ministers are resigning. What the hell is going on? I thought Gordon Brown was, well, I don't know. Apparently, I do not know enough about Gordon Brown or his policies to understand what is happening in the UK. Is this a reaction to the financial meltdown, or is it something else?
What's going on there, Mike, is that the members of parliament have been caught stealing money.
Well, I've been
fraudulent expenses claims.
Right, I've been following that, but graft taking politicians or politicians who are thieves, that evokes a yawn, no matter where it occurs. I mean, in this country, oh my God, we call it political action committees. I don't know what they call it in the UK, but here it's, you know, so what? There has to be something else going on in the UK.
It wasn't just one party, though, Mike. I mean, it was all across the board.
Right. I know. I understand. That's why I'm saying there must be something going on in the UK. It's not just the Liberals. I mean, it's not just Labour. It's not just the Conservatives. And I don't know, maybe there's some Liberal Party politicians involved in it, too. But it damn sure is Labour and the Conservatives. The whole thing seems to be collapsing.
I really couldn't comment on that. But I do have something to make you smile, though, today.
Okay.
A couple of months ago, when everyone was discussing the AIG thing, someone brought up that Manchester United, the soccer team over there, was sponsored by AIG and
mm-hmm.
pays with it plastered over its shirt. Well, Manchester United got through to the European Cup final, our Super Bowl last week.
Right.
They played Barcelona.
Uh-huh.
And Barcelona beat them. And just a bit of divine retribution, the Barcelona have UNICEF across the front of their shirt.
They have, the Barcelona has what?
UNICEF.
Oh!
There's some karma for you.
Yeah, it is. It is indeed. Matthew, we have a break here. Listen, thank you very much. I'm glad you called in. I hope to hear from you again. I forgot to ask you if you were here permanently, if you're just here for a while, but do check in again, all right? Time of the program when we thank our technical advisor Ben Birch, our military affairs correspondent Sharon Gordy, our economic advisor Bruce Enberg, aka Prairie 2, our ethical advisors Bob Alexander and Bridget Wolf, and of course, she who must be obeyed, the executive producer and engineer of this program, Kathy Bay. Speaking of Bob Alexander, I believe possibly, maybe, perhaps, tomorrow, Thursday, we will have the next episode of Mike Malloy Radio Gumshoe ready for your radio listening pleasure. And if not tomorrow, certainly Friday. But Bob, who writes and produces those, and then we here at the Mighty Malloy Radio Players act out our various parts in order to provide the absolute finest in talk radio entertainment to you and your loved ones. Are you a subscriber yet to the podcast? Anyway, possibly tomorrow night. Maybe not. We'll see. Jonathan is calling from Burlington, Vermont.
Hey, hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
I was listening with great sadness to the early segment regarding the transgender kids.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to note an interesting phenomenon that I've observed over my, well, I'm 49 years old, over my adult life. I was telling Kathy that I've spent a lot of time in various places around the world and lived in a lot of regions in this country. And I have noticed that the more homophobic the region, the more the butcher the region, if I may use that term,
mm-hmm.
A greater proportion of the straight men, married men, to my observation, and I've had friends confirm this, are on the down low mm-hmm. than in populations in regions that are less homophobic, but populations with similar proportions of openly gay people.
Right. And just so people understand, the down low is vernacular for men who present themselves as being heterosexual, but who are in fact homosexual. They have families, they father children, but they also have clandestine sexual liaisons with people. And as a result of that, there's an awful lot of heartbreak, not to mention crimes that are committed because of their inability, because of society they feel won't allow them to declare what they really are. Yeah, it's
right. I lived a year in a college town in the South
mm-hmm.
that was a you know, was it, to me, it was a haven in the, and by the way, I love the South and I love Southerners. I had wonderful experiences down there. I can't imagine what it's like to be African-American in some of the places I was. Apropos of an earlier this week's show or last week's show you did, I had forgotten to mention to you when I spoke to you that I think that a lot of white guys don't appreciate how much they're not the usual suspect just by being white.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Whereas people of color, they are the usual suspect.
That's what I'm saying. So.
Right.
I realize my, you know, relatively positive experiences may not be shared universally, but I want to make the observation that I think it's so funny that though the college town was a, you know, a haven, the region generally was one of these extremely Bible-thumping, homophobic regions, and it was just crawling with rednecks on the DL.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just funny. I just think it's funny.
Well, it's funny, but it's also dangerous because when you have people who are that deeply closeted, to the point where they attempt to be, or present themselves as heterosexual, especially if they're white males who have a real problem with this to begin with, the potential for extreme violence.
But you know, it was, I don't mean to interrupt
no,
you.
No, go ahead.
But it was, my sympathy, my empathy and sympathy for transgender kids brought this to mind because they usually are the first victims whether these guys on the DL like relatively masculine partners or effeminate partners, whichever, after they've done their business and they feel the guilt,
right?
It's the transgendered kids that are the go-to guys for them to beat the crap out of.
That's right.
Or worse, do a Matthew Shepard.
Right. Absolutely.
And so I'm, you know, right there with you on how sick this, I don't know what this dynamic is about, but it is entrenched.
You know, I had a thought the other day. Supposing there was no religious bias against gay folk, and there is religious bias certainly in Christianity and Islam. I don't know about Judaism. But if there was no, well, I guess there would be because they're
well, there is in the Orthodox branch.
Right. Right.
Actually, in this town, I'm so happy, the conservative synagogue actually here has a gay cantor who's married to a man, and the Reform temple is quite, actually, there were only Reform and conservative temples in this town, and it was actually the homosexual issue that suddenly created an Orthodox temple suddenly.
Yeah, yeah, I hear that.
Up.
Hey, listen, I have to leave it there, Jonathan. Thank you. I appreciate your checking in. Call again. We got to go. Yeah, if you take out the religious aspect of homosexual bias, what else is there? What other means could homophobic people drum up to vent their hatred, right? I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.